We'll begin. So everyone, welcome to the 11th episode of the Wim Hof Wednesday. I want to welcome everyone warmly, and especially our guest today. Our guest, if you haven't heard of him, in 2005, he got his PhD in neuroscience, and he was in academia for a pretty long time. 2014, he decided to open up his own company and to follow a different path. Always still having the knowledge and the wisdom of what he'd learned as a PhD and a person who was in the world in academia for a long time. He definitely has impressed us all with going from level one to level three. And now he trains the trainer. Not only that, he has a podcast. He's taken this to keynote speeches, public speaking in a different level. And his mission is simple. One line, open endings. Yet everything is connected, which he gracefully borrowed from Picasso, and really trying to make everyone understand that you need to connect with yourself. Please unmute yourselves. Yes, I said it. Unmute yourselves and get your right hand and get your left hand and then bang them together for Bart Schlott-Eason. Thank you so much for being here, Mark.
Oh, man. Jesus, that's one of the craziest intros I ever had. So thank you for that. And it's recorded. I can look it back up. cool. I like what you said about my mission, which is represented in my logo too. It's like it's one line. Like Picasso used to make artwork in as simple as possible, but still have an entire story in there. True. I think what we already were speaking about is that we have evolved into this species, and we call ourselves Homo sapiens, and in which we overcomplicate so many things. And if there's one thing which I think the Wim Hof method has helped me in a lot is unfuck myself and uncomplicate things, unlearn things that I have unreasonably complicated in my mind. My scientific mind, but also my mind in general. So, thanks.
Well, Bart, thank you. I think everyone is so excited to be here to hear what you have to share, and also to share those questions you have. So this is the time to, of course, listen if you only are here to listen, but if you have a question, make sure it comes out. And I want to talk to you a little bit, Bart, about our theme, the lost art of being you. tell me where you came up with this. I love the title.
Thanks. The title in part came from James Nestor's book Breathe. And it sort of it triggered me to have this realization that is actually the journey that I'm on. Because the only thing all of you can be is yourselves, and whether the Wim Hof method helps or other method helps, other life experiences help in that, it doesn't really matter, but all you can be is you. And what I have sort of showed myself, and what I see a lot of people do in this life is sort of copy others, live up to the expectations of others, be it individual persons or whole societies. And in this way, I feel that a lot of us have sort of lost connection with ourselves, with that what we truly are. And in essence, we are made of the same stardust, all of us. So the basic ingredients might be the same, but yet we all manifest into unique specimens. And we're part of this community that's called humans, this tribe that's called humans. But we're part of this bigger thing, Earth. And I think the better care we take of ourselves, and so the inward journey, the more connection we go on, the bigger the journey we go inwards, the better we take care of ourselves, the better we can take care of each other. And if more people would start doing that, and that's I think what a lot of people in the Wim Hof method are doing too, is getting on this inward journey of like, who am I? What am I here for? What is my goal? And then by taking better care of myself, I started taking better care of others, which is not always easy or evident. But in the end, that is my mission. And if we all do this, we start taking better care of each other, then we also take better care of this planet that we are an integral part of. And it doesn't need to be complicated.
I love how you said we're all stardust. I never thought of myself as that. really, I loved it. I was like, yeah, I'm stardust, baby. No, it's true. It's being authentic. And I think it's also beauty in what you said about Picasso, or James Nestor, that you can borrow or you can get inspired, but never ever lose what you feel is who you are. Yeah. And I could completely relate to that. And I think maybe some others here, please raise your hand if you ever felt this way. Have you ever felt, oh, well, he did a flyer or he did a demo or a video of Wim Hof like this, and I'm going to try to copy it. And has anyone ever had like that feeling, I need to do something now? I don't know. I did. And it's,
Certainly.
I think inspiration is one thing, but copying and pasting is another. Could you say that's relevant to the theme and relevant to what you just said?
I think it's a human thing that we learn by copying. We learn by watching others. We as kids learn by seeing what our parents do and what other examples in our lives do. But there is a difference, like you say, between exact copying one-on-one and being inspired and creating your own thing.
Yeah.
And I also struggled with this when I was still in the academias. I saw my professors and I thought I needed to be like my professors. So I started copying them in their behavior, in their way of presenting themselves and their way of doing. And I see, when I look in a broader perspective, I see a lot of people in this society copy each other. We all want to have that. Well, not me, but I see a lot of youngsters. They all want to have that Louis Vuitton bag or whatever, because some celebrity is wearing it. And right. And in essence, it's okay if you choose to do that. So I do my best to be not like judgmental about it. But I think this world, if I look at the rest of nature, so besides the human race, all other specimens and animals and plants in nature, they're not trying to copy each other. They might be inspired by each other and they produce diversity. And I think it gets very boring, and that might be a bit judgmental, but it the potential is that it gets very boring if everybody does the same thing, if everybody looks the same way. Even though our basic makeup is the same stardust.
Back to stardust. This should be entitled, You Are Really Stardust.
I'll rephrase it next time.
No, it reminds me of my son today. We were playing a song by Black Eyed Peas, and I love dancing with him. So I started, instead of doing like boom, 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 I started banging the walls, and he started copying. But like kind of like you said, he didn't just copy and paste. He went boom, 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 and then he did it in another way on the cabinet or on the drawer. And I realized that, yes, he's like all of us, we copy and paste, but now he's making it into his own. And how would you share, like, how do we get inspiration without copying and pasting? Because you've been in the game a lot longer than me. And I think for some other people I've seen in here, in my class, actually, they could probably relate. Like, how do we do that and still be possibly not too out there and still possibly successful?
That's a complicated question. Well, maybe just by being yourself and trusting yourself and respecting yourself instead of being that Homo sapiens that we might call each other, be Homo ludens, the laughing and playing man, instead of the thinking man. And because I think that is what we are. We are a playful, interactive race, but yet due to the constraints we put on ourselves, we take away the playfulness at about age 10, 12, and then all of a sudden we need to become adults and behave in a certain way that is apparently expected of us. Why not keep this playfulness for a little bit longer? I had to reconnect with it because I lost most of it and I was super, super serious, rational. And then I refound the fact that I saw my kids climbing trees and doing stuff. And I thought, hey, but I actually also want to do that. I also feel like doing that. But nobody else in the playground was doing it because all the parents were sitting on the bench, like on the side and talking to each other. And then the kids were playing there. And I was like, I want to be there. I want to play. So that's like my kids inspired me big time to sort of to reconnect with the kid inside of me again. And if we all do that without the fear of being judged, because I think that's an important thing. I was afraid to be judged. I was afraid to be different, to stand out in the crowd. I just wanted to blend in. And I think that's the society we have created. And that's a cool thing. What I see in the Wim Hof Method tribe is to see like people that are on this path of finding out what they are, who they are. Especially when we were in Struer or in Poland for a week, it's such a big difference with like a boardroom meeting or a conference or whatever, where everybody dresses up in the same pinstripes or whatever. And there is this colorful diversity of human beings, souls that enters that hotel in Poland, for instance. And I'm just amazed every time by how many different colors come in there and every energy they bring. So if you go beyond the fear of being judged, the fear of not being good enough, not belonging, you actually start belonging. So you go from being the odd one out to being the odd one in.
Okay.
And you're not odd anymore then.
You said that you found out how to be your inner child again by your children. So you gave an example of how you are doing that right now. Can you give us an example of how you're being your true self during your events?
There was, for instance, this one example that I like to use in this respect. I was invited to host a keynote on an HR conference. It's already 3 years ago. Time flies. 3 years ago, in Eastern Europe somewhere. So I went there and I presented a 30-minute keynote about failure and mindset. They asked me to speak about that. Okay, cool. But it was 34 degrees Celsius, so warm summer. And when it's warm and summery, I wear a shirt and shorts and I don't put on a suit. So I thought, okay, it's super hot. So I'll just go there in my shirt and in my shorts. And I went in there and I was the only one in a shirt and shorts because everybody was wearing these pinstripes. Mm-hmm. And then part of me thought, oh, now I am the failure. So I have to give a keynote on failure, but my voices in my head were telling me that maybe you are the failure because you stand out here. You don't fit in. You're not the same as the rest. But then I thought, no, but this is what I am. And then one of the people from the organizing committee, they asked me, hey, would you, because we know you walk barefoot a lot, would you be willing to do your keynote on main stage barefooted?
Wow.
And I was like, I had to think about that because I was the first time in front of like a 500 people audience. And I thought, okay, let's go for it. So I went on stage on my bare feet. And I feel happy on my bare feet. So I decided, okay, this is what I am. This is what I'm going to do. I went on stage and I used that example to sort of build my presentation around. So I started talking about the fact that maybe some of you in this room think that, I'm a failure for getting out on this stage in my shorts, on my bare feet. And that's what my presentation was about, my lecture was about. And at the end of the day, after all those other funky, cool people in their suits all gave their presentations, the chief of the organizing staff, he went into the green room, he took off his tuxedo and he put on a shirt and shorts that he also had. And he went on stage to do the final closing remarks in his shorts on bare feet. And he said, like, yeah, thank you very much, Bart. We had wonderful talks, but yours touched me the most because you were you. You thought, okay, fuck this shit. Just be myself. Go beyond that fear of standing out and being different. You're unique. And so show that and it'll work.
Thank you so much for that. That definitely was directly dedicated towards me. So I appreciate it. I'll share more about like why and can anyone relate to what he just said and maybe what you're struggling with?
Yeah, I have a comment about that because I think back to when I first became an instructor and I think about all the people who are about to become instructors over the next year. It's, it can be a scary thing getting up to teach this class the first few times, especially for someone like myself, because I don't have a strong science background. And I tried to follow the script and teach the class, you know, the way it was presented, which was for me a little bit heavy on the science side. So taking your words, I quote, found my voice, because I realized after a while that, all right, I'm not delivering the impact and inspiration that we want our students to have in terms of adopting this method and integrating it into their lives. And so I shifted more towards the mindset and how the breathing mindset and cold altogether, of course, whether you believe it or not, whether you wanted to or not, physiologically were the same. So when you practice the method, here's what's going to happen in your body. So I go through that and you're going to get the benefit. But what you can really, you know, hit the ball out of the park with is the mindset, because the breathing is like a portal into your mind, opens up opportunity. So anyway, when I started kind of down this path, it really changed. I'm not going to say it changed the information I presented. I still include the science, but it changed it to where it's presented in a different context and form. And it's a much more impactful class. So I really appreciate what you're talking about today, Bart, because it is being genuine, finding your voice. And I was trying to emulate, Trish and Casper and Matt, who were at my master class on Mount Hood, and I couldn't, and I shouldn't have been trying to do that. So I look forward to, as other instructors come down the pipe, they're probably going to have a need for something like this. And this would certainly be a great topic for them to get in their classes as well.
It's Don, to thanks for sharing this, because the fun thing, I was already guessing that at least Casper and Trish would have been your teachers. And Casper was also my teacher when I was in the academy. And his background is a biology teacher. I'm a neuroscientist as a background. So we sort of have
Trish is a chiropractor.
So. Yeah. So we sort of have a similar background with lots of medical knowledge and neuro knowledge. And when I'll share a vulnerable story about me becoming an academy instructor. When I was the first time in Poland in November 17 as an academy instructor, I was Casper's colleague. And Casper, he's a wonderful teacher. I love him, and he's very good at what he does. But he was so good at what he does that I just felt completely overwhelmed. And it was a perfect story, a perfect pitch that he was telling. And I was like, what should I add? I don't, because what you're telling is true. I know the theory, but why? What should I do? So I was, for 1.5 days, I was on the sideline just observing and I don't really need to add something. So I was finding my way and my added value. And then at a certain point, one of the instructors to be, she came up to me because somehow she saw me struggling and she said, hey, can I say something to you? I said, yeah, sure. What's bugging you? I said, well, I don't know. I don't really know what to add here. It's my first time as a senior instructor. I know I've got talents, capacities, whatever. But he's telling such a perfect story. I don't know what to add. And then she said, but he can only do what he is doing because you're doing what you are doing. And so if you are you, he can be he. And so you bring your value, and the thing we see you do is observe everybody the entire time. And that's where I got my nickname, the Watcher. And I observe everybody during the sessions, during the training. I'm just watching. And she said, that makes all of us very, very safe, because we know you've got your eye on us. So that also makes Casper able to do what Casper is able to do. And then I felt sort of liberated, I don't need to be Casper number two, because we've got a similar background, and maybe we've got the same hairdo, and maybe sometimes we've got the same funny jokes or not so funny jokes. So then I started being me more, and my specialty in that week was connecting one-on-one with people. That's where the midnight sessions evolved. So when Casper went off to bed, I was having talks with a lot of people. And then at the end, like at 12 or 1:30, I would turn off the light and go to bed too, and do a lot of individual coaching. So yeah, you know, if you are you, and if the science is not something that is your core thing, then don't go on that ice surface, so to say, that you can slip and slide on. No, just focus on what you do know, what you do feel comfortable with, and then add a bit of what you know about the science in the story.
I love it. Keep it, stay real to yourself. I did notice Pontus raised his hand.
Cool to see you, man.
Do you still have a question?
I had a similar story. If there's
Pontus is somewhere in the middle of nowhere in Sweden, so maybe his Wi-Fi isn't always that good.
Can you repeat the question?
A similar story, if there's space for it. No. Okay.
And now we don't hear anybody anymore.
Yeah, it seems my Wi-Fi is too slow for this. So I'll skip my comments and stories. Ciao.
Francesco, your mic ain't on.
Thank you. And Pontus, if you turn your camera off, which you just did, maybe it's better now. Sometimes when you turn the camera off, your bandwidth will be extended.
Okay. Let's give it a hear me. Can you hear me any at all?
Yes.
Okay. So far. So
the short story, I've been up the mountain for the last 4 years with a Polish instructor. I'm originally from Poland, but my Polish isn't good. So I've always been worried about not being able to explain and not having the words to convey the message. But 1 year we were up on the mountain and one of the Polish participants, she was really, really cold. And we made it to the shelter and we made it back. And the day after she said, Pontus, it was the calmness in your voice and it was the calmness in your eyes that kept me alive on that mountain. So sometimes it's absolutely not about what words, what is it we're saying? It's just that, just how we are with the participants. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for sharing. I fully agree. I was in Luxembourg 4 weeks ago and to facilitate a Wim Hof Method workshop, which was done half in English, half in French. And as I do understand French, I don't speak it that well, but still, it's okay to do it and to feel the vibes. And so your presence, even though you didn't understand what people were saying, you were yourself and being yourself and being calm, which whatever language you're speaking, I think is the best thing to stay in a potentially stressful situation, will radiate that energy outward, and that will help other people too to remain calm and not panic and not be afraid. So super cool, Pontus. Thanks.
It's amazing. And does anyone have any questions for Bart that it could be relative to either the theme or in general from his years of experience, because this is a good time to get them out now. I have a couple of questions, but I'll save them for later if anyone would like to share now.
Hey, Bart.
Hey, Chris.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, sure.
Hey, good to see you. I did my first couple of workshops this month and they went really well. I'm super happy, but I always find there's a vacuum at the end of the workshops where people are looking for the next thing. And we touched a little bit on this last week on the Wim Hof Wednesdays about building like community, maybe out with workshops and stuff like that. But I also got a sense that some people would really benefit from one-on-one coaching. And I know that's something you do, and I'm really interested in, I gather that you do it outside, you know, sometimes super early in the morning and that kind of stuff. And like, for me personally, like that's, you know, something that the method has brought me towards is just getting out into nature again, especially first thing in the morning and stuff like that, that kind of magic you find out mm-hmm. there at that time in the morning. Mm-hmm. And I'm just generally interested in your one-on-one work and how you work basically.
Okay, cool. So I understand what you say, that at the end of a workshop, it's like you ended, you finished, you did everything you wanted to do. And the workshop in essence was a big success. And then people will most likely stay. Some people will have to go because they've got other things to do, whatever. But then there will always be people that just chill and hang and want to get into this conversation and don't want to leave the room. But then there is this like this, I don't know, this dip in energy or something. So what I usually end my sessions with is, and I never do this to sell myself or my products or whatever, but I do this because I think it's the most important part of what we're doing here, is I will restate and again that, like, to me, a session like this is all about connection with yourself and in essence from that connection with others too. So to me, the connection part doesn't really end at the end of a workshop, even though you might go left and I might go right, I will be there. So if you I will say to people, like, if you've got a question tomorrow or next week or next year, just pop it, you know, and then I'll put my phone number on the screen, and so that they know that they can always call. And most people will not do that because they will go on with their business or whatever. But then some people will. And I think that's an important one. And there will always, like, if there are 10 people in a workshop, there will always be one or two that will use this info and they will get back in touch with you because they are looking for some one-on-one guidance too. And yes, most of the time my office is outside in nature. Because as much as I love my oldest daughter's bedroom where I'm in now, like the box, it's fine, but I don't like to be in boxes too much. And when I go out in nature, the box is so big that I can't see the borders. So that's why I made my office. That's why I made nature into my office. And then I will just invite people over either early in the morning or later on during the day to join me outside for a one-on-one walk. And from that, I can see what the question of this person is, and I can evaluate whether I'm able to help them.
Yeah, that's great.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, great question, Chris. Thank you. I appreciate that. I definitely can see myself, you incorporating some of that. Anyone else have one before I sneak mine in there? All right, I'm going to sneak mine in there.
I'm very curious now.
I love how you shared about your keynote speech and how you were being yourself. And it actually was to your benefit and to the man who was hosting the event, wearing his t-shirt towards the final keynote or for his ending his event. I'm also into public speaking, and I actually love the idea of doing the Wim Hof method for keynote speeches that could be anywhere from 45 minutes to 60 minutes.
Yeah.
I would like to know, two-part question, what type of events are interested in your Wim Hof method teaching? Because I know the one you shared was about failure, or you said another word, failure and something else.
Mindset, yeah.
And mindset, yeah. So failure mindset, which Wim Hof method entails that. How do you incorporate the Wim Hof method in these events, if you have? And yeah, who's interested in these?
Who's interested? That's pretty broad, actually. A lot of companies. I've done a lot of keynotes for banks, for instance, because apparently they're interested in sort of optimizing human performance or creating bigger turnovers for the banks. I don't know. And then again, HR, so the HR area, which I think is a horrible name. We should change that, human resources, into something else. It's not that you get resources out of that box and just throw them at the lions and then get rid of them and get new resources. So that's my 5 cents about the term HR. And sometimes like ICT companies, all kinds of different companies. And the Wim Hof method is always part of my story, because what people invite me over when I give talks is to talk about my journey, about my loss, how I lost the art of being me and refound that. And the Wim Hof method just, I mean, credits to my personal Yoda Wim. He is one of the of my lifesavers, so to say. So it would only be not okay for me to just talk about mindset and I've seen breathwork do wonders for me, and then just not name Wim. So he's always there, and then that's what people I think people also think it's he's still a crazy guy, but also a very authentic guy. And I think if I am on stage being my best authentic version of myself, then talking about other people that have inspired me with their authenticity is just 1 + 1 = 25 then.
Thank you. So it could be many corporations, associations, and you talk about the Wim Hof, but do you incorporate a breathing session? Do you pull out like behind the red curtains and here's an ice bath and the CEO is going to jump in? Like, do you try to make that happen? I hope this question is helpful for anyone else who wants to get into the corporate world, because it's obviously, if anyone who knows me, I'm not into making corporate keynote speech money, but I like the idea of having my small events and having these as a balance, you know?
Yeah. No, I fully understand. No, I will never force or convince anybody to jump in an ice bath, because I think they've got enough ego in that world already, and that to me is not what the Wim Hof method is about. Yeah. So sometimes when the possibility is there, I will bring a little bit of ice, and I will do like the hands in ice exercise for anybody that wants that, or feet in ice. I can remember a couple of sessions where I just invited some people on stage to actually take their shoes off, which is super vulnerable to a lot of people, and then stand in a bucket of ice for a minute and see what happens then. And then oftentimes you've got the manager or the CEO that will be like, I'm the chief monkey of this business, so I better show myself to go in there. And then they will have a hard time because they will approach it from ego instead of from connection and love. But when I can guide them through this phase of letting go of the ego, and I should fight myself through this too, but I can actually relax into this. And I can remember one time I was at headquarters of Rabobank, which is one of the biggest banks in the Netherlands, and I had this CEO of a division, and he put his hand in the ice, but he put a fist in the ice because, oh man, I'm gonna do this. And so he put his hand in, and I just saw him sort of, I'm not crying here, but it hurts. And so I said to him, like, hey, but if you release the tension, release the pressure, stop fighting, just accept this for what it is. And putting your hand in ice for 2 minutes might even be more difficult than feeling being fully immersed in an ice bath. So you saw him let go of the tension in his fist. You saw him get rid of the tension in his face. His shoulders went down. He's like, oh, this really works. And then I just asked the question to him, like, okay, but do you recognize this way of behaving from other aspects in your life? And he was like, yeah, I'll take this. I'll take this home, and I'm going to use this more. So it doesn't need to be complicated again. Just a little bucket of ice, ice water will do the trick most often. And if you don't have ice, then you don't have ice, and you just, you know, sometimes I just bring one ice cube or something, and then I do a funny joke with it, and I just do a mindfulness exercise where I ask somebody to take that ice cube and put it on their hand and just see what happens, approach it as if they don't know that it's an ice cube, like a kid that sees something for the first time. So you can play around with ice in a multitude of ways. And then this person will still have a very, very tiny cold experience and learn something new. So the other question you said is, do you ever do big breathing sessions with these groups? Nah, most of the time not. I will work on breath awareness. So I'll make people aware of breathing, but most of the time I do not do big breathing sessions for non-Wim Hof method instructors to be on stage. It's just breath awareness then.
Breath awareness and a couple of cubes of ice maybe for their feet. So thank you. I just wanted to recap that. Awesome advice from me. And Pavla has written here, because you were speaking, she wanted to just get this out there. Do you approach the banks or do they come to you?
They come to me, but I don't know why they come to me. I don't know.
Because you're being you. Probably. Because you found the art that you lost of being you.
Yeah, it could be.
It's very much.
I never advertise myself. I don't do cold acquisition. So I don't call banks and say like, hi, I'm bought. You need me.
Cool. So you don't do any cold calls. Okay. No. But word of mouth probably has helped, you think?
It does. Yeah. Certainly. Okay. Yeah. And the other question of Pavla, do I change my talk according to the audience? Yes, but it's still me. It's still my vulnerable story.
Okay.
So I will obviously, and I think that is one of the, that is at least one of the key elements that I evaluate people on when they become Wim Hof Method instructors. It's their capability to observe, to what are you saying, Pavla? Breathe through your heart. Yeah, I could say that.
But at the bank, would you say that?
Yeah, sure. If I feel that it is helpful, but sometimes in a bank or like in IT companies, yeah, you need to approach people a little bit different. But then in the end, I want them out of their comfort zone, so I need to do something else with them.
Yeah.
If I just use their language the entire time, they won't get the message, I guess. So I need to, in the end, yes, I will take my shoes off as well. And I will talk about breathing through your heart or connecting, whatever. And I will make people hug too. That's it. That is, at least they make themselves hug. That's maybe the most beautiful part of a talk, like stand up, put your arms in the air, put one arm down. And then, you know, that exercise, and then even bang directors, you know, it's beautiful. Yeah. So, but yeah, I do check on, okay, what does this specific audience need? And even though also with breathing sessions, I might use my, I've got this playlist that I use a lot for a basic breathing session, but still no two breathing sessions are the same. Mm-hmm. I need to check what people are there, what they need, and then give them that. But Pavla, you know, you do the same.
That's amazing. Thank you. I've worked. They all think I am nuts.
You are. That's why we love you.
Oh, man. That's that really is helpful for me, and I appreciate it, because I'm trying to get into that world. But, and I hope anyone else, if they're trying to get into that world, I think this is, Bart, you're one of the people I'm looking up to for that. So I hope you don't mind if I can pick your brain.
I'm the same.
Do you mind if I pick your brain after this, though? Like, can we contact you after? Okay.
Yeah. It's about connection to me. My phone number is online. So.
All right. And so we still have another 8 minutes. So if you, Joe or Marius, Christian, Sonia, Sharon, Bernard, Arthur, Odin, anyone, please speak. Speak now or forever hold your peace.
No, you can always speak. it's just from my side of the story, it's good to see a number of people that I haven't seen in quite a few years. So I'm very grateful for you guys showing up and showing yourself and meeting with new people. So to me, this is beautiful. And that goes like the mindset part that Don was talking with. This is, to me, this is mindset, and this is also the commitment. And this is something so we changed breathing, mindset, and cold into breathing, commitment, and cold. So you've got mindset and commitment. If you commit to surrendering into whatever is at that moment, sometimes that's an ice bath and sometimes that's another stressful situation, you can create flow in the middle. And I think that is what makes the Wim Hof method so beautiful, that we have these tools now, these innate tools that we can use to create flow state for people, to help people create this altered state of consciousness, this flow state in which they can be themselves more easy.
I agree. And Bart, I don't know if you noticed, but Sharon asked that she's missing the hugging due to Corona. Yeah. I am too. And actually here in Germany, like it's actually hard to even have events without having everything with all these regulations. Mm-hmm. How do you ask people to sit in front of each other and breathe mm-hmm. together? Do you have any other alternatives to hugging?
Well, no. you can think of a lot of things, but what I always say at the beginning of sessions is that nothing I say is mandatory, and I respect everybody's ideas and feelings and whatever. So if you wanna stay on the side of something I invite you to do, fine. I ask you why, because I'm interested in your reason for not participating in something. But if you don't want to join in, don't join in. It's all good. But then like see how you can still be part of this communal thing that is happening. Well, the hugging actually never stopped. I just invite people to do it. And if you feel like doing it, do it. And then I can also explain to them scientifically that hugging is actually very good for your immune system. So I will go into a little bit of biological details about what happens when you hug and how your hearts align and that kind of stuff. But then, guys, you're all grown-ups, make your own decisions, take your own call. And if you feel like it, do it. And if you don't do it. All good. But to me, there is no alternative to hugging. We are an interconnected species. And everything that this world has been throwing upon us about distancing and actually not connecting with each other, then I don't think that's... Are there guidelines how to hug during Corona? Oh, that's interesting. probably in a spacesuit or something.
I think it's on the Happify website or somewhere I saw it, and the main thing is to go through the space quickly. So you kind of jump on each other. You don't move towards each other slowly, quickly, and then you hug like this. Oh, okay. And it's okay.
Well, I think if you want to be safe, breathe through your nose. As all of you know, nasal breathing is very important because it filters a lot of bullshit out of the air before it enters your system. So do that and then either approach quickly or not so quickly. The aerosols will still be in the room. And part of us, like 7 or 8% of what we are, is viral tissue. So...
Well, thank you. That's I appreciate it.
Can I add something, please?
Please, yeah, please.
Sure.
Sorry. I had an experience or a couple of experiences quite nice in my movement workshops where we did breathing exercises combined with humming or doing sounds. And this was very nice to create a connection between the people without actually touching. Yeah. So this is something I would recommend, or I could recommend, which I find very, very helpful and very intense in a way without physical contact.
Yeah, too. And so I fully agree with you that that yes, obviously you can do things that are also connecting. We're all, even though you're meters apart, even though you guys are maybe on three different continents, we are all on the same planet. So we are all connected. We are all inhaling the same air. We are all connected. And those are things I focus on. So even without hugging or physically touching each other, we are still connected. And yes, that's also something I tell to bank directors and IT guys. But then to me, there is no alternative to physical connection, be it in a handshake or holding hands or exploring each other's hands, which I also have in exercises. And then maybe eventually a hug. Of course, you can do other things. And if you feel that you shouldn't, for instance, eye gazing, I always do that. And you can do that at a distance. But the closer you will get, the more interesting it will most likely also get. So play around with it and respect people's personal space if they want that to be respected. It's always an invitation. Never force anything upon somebody and see where it goes.
Thank you. Great. Thank you for sharing that, Bernard, and the eye gazing as well, Joe. I appreciate that. We have two more minutes. I mean, we could either have another question or Bart, maybe you can.
I have a question.
Perfect.
Thank you. But I always find it easy to say, don't be afraid to be yourself. Just do it. Do you have some specific like ideas or instructions on how to do this?
Well, to people who are already on the path of knowing who they are and what they are, this might be an easy invitation. But then again, you will also meet people in whatever situation, be it a workshop or somewhere else, that are not that aware of who they are yet, because they are still living the lives of others. They are living the expectations of others. So I sort of do like when I talk about this, I always have this two-phase introduction. Like if you like, everything in life is a learning experience. And I didn't think of life like that. To me, it was just go, goals, targets, deadlines when I was still working as an assistant professor. But now I know that everything is a learning experience. And if you approach things, whatever you meet, as a learning experience, you're more open. And if you approach the learning experience to learn what you are and who you are, if you don't already know yet, then you're more open to learn too. So in this way, I sort of make people aware of, oh wait, I can also think about and explore today in this workshop what I am, who I am, what works for me and what doesn't work for me. And then that sort of creates a safe space more easily for people to actually venture on into that path and create that adventure for themselves to find out what they are, instead of like, hey, you just be yourself. That's more easily said than done.
Thank you very much.
Bernard, I mean, everybody here who shared, thank you for asking your questions and just putting out your thoughts to inspire this group. And a huge thank you to you, Bart. We're about to wrap up, but this means a lot to everyone, not only what here, but also anyone who's going to watch the replay, to know that being yourself in itself is a success. And I don't have enough time to share why it's like really dedicated to me right now, but I'm being honest with you. This is the message I needed to hear today. So a huge, huge thank you. If you're not following Bart already on Instagram, please do. If you want to find inspiration from his website, I'm telling you, visit it, because I've definitely gotten a lot of inspiration. I will not copy and paste. I will do like my son. I will bang around like you, but I will hit it in a different way, because I definitely see the benefit of being yourself, like Lulu said.
Yeah.
And because everyone else is taken.
What is your website, Bart?
Oh, that's really easy. That's my name with www dot in front of it and dot nl, because I'm in the Netherlands behind it.
I'll type it out for you. But yeah, so with that being said, I want to just thank everyone for being here. Thank you, Bart, for your time and your kindness and your just inspiration.
No problem. And let's do it again.
Yeah, I would love this. And if everyone could please unmute yourself, because I think having that clap, if you can, unless you're on a couch enjoying this on a projector. I love Patrick. I want to hang out and watch the Wim Hof Wednesday with Patrick. But please, like, unmute yourself and get your right hand and get your left hand and just bang them together. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Really amazing.
Thank you, guys. Wonderful.
All right, guys. Have a good one and talk to you soon, Bart.
Ciao.
Ciao.